Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Delaney on another heavy day, as we just got word a short while ago that the Capitol police officer who was wounded during that melee with that raucous, riotous crowd at the Capitol has died. So the U.S. Capitol Police confirmed the death of that officer, who made it back to his office but did not make it back from the hospital. Officer Brian Sicknick, his name was. He died at 9:30 Eastern on Thursday due to injuries sustained while he was on duty during that riot. He responded, and he was engaging right in the middle with the protesters. And he was taken to that local hospital, but he did not, again, survive the injuries that that he received. So, of course, the Capitol Police say the entire USCP department expresses deep sympathies to the officer's family and friends on their loss, and they mourn the loss of a friend and a colleague. By the way, just to mention this at the top for reference, he's the fifth person to die as a result of Wednesday's insurrection. One woman was shot and killed by the Capitol Police as the crowd breached the building. Three others suffered medical emergencies that proved to be fatal. Right now, a wall is being put up, a 7-foot wall at the Capitol, and there are many, many law enforcement folks that are on the scene there and will be there. The National Guard is there, and they're doing the 12-hour shifts, and they've got full gear on and doing those jobs all the way around the perimeter, again, helping to build and helping to assist other law enforcement in whatever way they can. There have been a lot of resignations, including the U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun. He will be gone as of the 16th. There were many lawmakers that were calling for him to resign and others, including the union. So he did decide to resign. Cabinet members have resigned, including the latest would be Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, the transportation secretary. Elaine Chao resigned the day before. She happens to be the wife of Mitch McConnell. There is a full court press to invoke the 25th by some Republicans, others saying absolutely no, that's not the right thing to do. And Democrats are saying that they want to see the president removed. The president released a statement today because Twitter let him back on. He's not allowed on Facebook or Instagram and some other social media platforms that have banned him. But Twitter lifted that ban after some things were flagged and removed. So we're going to let you hear that right here. Here is the president releasing a video statement on Thursday.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
So after that statement, there still were calls for the 25th Amendment, and here's what the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's take was on what should happen.
Yesterday, the President of the United States incited an armed insurrection against America. The gleeful desecration of the U.S. Capitol, which is the temple of our American democracy, and the violence targeting Congress are horrors that will forever stain our nation's history, instigated by the President of the United States. That's why it's such a stain. In calling for this seditious act, the President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the Vice President to remove this President by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment.
So what the word is that several cabinet secretaries informally did discuss invoking the 25th Amendment, but Mike Pence, the VP, who wasn't available for a phone call with Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi, when they called him, they sat on hold for 20-plus minutes, and it's unlikely that he is going to pursue that. What is being pursued, Trump aside, the president aside, is the people at the U.S. Capitol who were part of the riot where their faces were clearly shown and they were all over social media. They're being identified and losing jobs, and the FBI and other law enforcement is trying to round them up, figure out again who they are with the help of the public, and then they face a potential of 3 or 4 different charges. You had plenty to say, America, and I'm proud to say this mailbag is full, 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 so we're going to the mailbag next.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
New Year's Eve marks a fresh start and a new beginning. And with that in mind, Kia Motors America is ringing in the arrival of 2021 with a massive New Year's celebration. The party started in early December when the all-new Kia Sorento SUV embarked on a coast-to-coast tour of the U.S. with a mission to deliver the iconic 2021 New Year's Eve numerals to Times Square. National Geographic documented the journey entitled The World's First Storytelling Machine, capturing inspirational stories along the way. And as the official sponsor of the New Year's Eve countdown, Kia will help honor frontline workers in Times Square on New Year's Eve. James Bell, Director, Corporate Communications, Kia Motors America.
To recognize and thank them for their hard work and dedication, Kia will transport frontline workers and their families so they can safely experience the thrill of New Year's Eve in Times Square. The families will be shuttled to and from Times Square in a fleet of Kia Sorento and Telluride SUVs.
For more, visit Kia.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, once again, if you want to flip me your thoughts, you always can. You know that 24/7, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. This one from Joseph. He is listening to us in Louisiana, in New Orleans. Wow, one of my favorite places. I can't wait till things open back up again. Joseph and I can spend some time in New Orleans. It feels like I have not been there in so long. And the reason why is because I have not been able to go there in so long. So he must be listening to us on 990 AM WGSO, one of our fabulous affiliates. And he says, Delaney, disgusted, depressed, I feel like I have no words for what I have seen. I voted for the president, and now I wish I hadn't. He absolutely incited that crowd. Rudy Giuliani helped, as did his son. Did they really think that the people were just going to go and do a ring around the rosy out at the Capitol? It is absolutely shameful what went on. I still have faith in my fellow conservatives and some of the Republicans on the Hill, but I have no more faith in this government. And let's hope Joe Biden can somehow unite conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, and as you say, whatever the label is, because I've got to tell you, I am rooting for that to happen. All right, Joseph, I'm there with you too. I mean, I'm all about not the divided states of America, the United States of America. How about this one from Joe? This is weird. Joey Leff. That's what his name is, Joey Leff. I couldn't read it at first. Joey Leff says, Kate, did you see, because of what happened on some of the airlines, particularly American Airlines, they are banning alcohol on all flights to and from D.C.? Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting you say that. Somebody sent me a video from inside a flight from Dallas to D.C., and there were people screaming at each other, and I was so surprised the flight wasn't diverted. There were people that were screaming, you know, go Trump and other colorful language I can't use, or the FCC would fine me, and then others screaming back at them about Joe Biden and Trump's a criminal and all these things. And so they just said, boom, we're spending alcohol on flights. That's it. After what happened, after the insurrection, and they've also increased their staff at airports, and I guess Delta Airlines is doing the same thing. And it's interesting because the airlines, so think about this, the airlines had already moved their crews from hotels in central Washington in anticipation of the protests. I mean, did they think there was going to be an insurrection? I don't think so, but they knew there were going to be protests and problems moving crews in and out, so they had already moved them. But the airlines are obviously tightening their security, and so are the airports. They're doing the same thing, because they say they don't want mob mentality among the passengers. And the clip of the video that I saw was scary, and there were kids on that flight. And, you know, I think, oh, those kids are hearing all this language and nastiness. I mean, this is like bullies gone wild. I mean, it's really, that's what it was like on both sides, by the way, because of the screaming and the things that were being taunted and said and, you know, all of that. So they had to do something, and people were all over them. Do something, do something, you know, do something. Then I got this one from Mac, who emails us a lot, and Mac says, Kate, I can't believe I'm saying this because I have to admit I am a big supporter of Trump's. He is uncouth at times, ridiculous on Twitter, but I liked some of the policies, and there are things that did happen during his administration that worked, but this doesn't work. It doesn't work to incite violence. It made me just so damn sick and sad to see the body of that woman that was bleeding from her neck, that was taken out and did not survive, all because she was just rabid about QAnon, and she went to Washington on a wing and a prayer, from what I read, from San Diego, and had all hopes of defending the president, and now she's dead, and she's not even 40 years old, and that just makes me so sad. Plus, she served in the Air Force for 14 years. What a nightmare. Yeah, what a nightmare indeed. And you just told the whole story. That is incredible what happened there. And she was a big supporter of the president's, and she was on a mission to go and to be part of it and be there and put out a video. And her husband's family said that, you know, this she loved this. This is what she was about. And she had been in the Air Force for 14 years. And when the crowd was breaking the windows to get into the chamber in the Capitol, she was there in the front, and she was shot. So it did look like, and I'm surprised there wasn't more things that happened. There were other devices and things that were found, but there were guns out, windows smashed, all of that, certainly. All right, this one is from Jess, and Jess says, Kate Delaney, I am so glad I did not go to Washington. One of my friends went to Washington and thought, oh, I'm going to just be part of this protest, and it's going to be fine. I'm going to feel good. There are going to be other enthusiastic people there. But when it got really hellish and there were flashes going off and there was tear gas, he got the H out of there. And it's probably a good thing, because he has a family. And with all the postings that other people are doing and the hunt to find all the people, he could have been right in the thick of it, because he thought he was going to do that. He wanted his voice to be heard. Well, good thing that he did get scared and he got out of there. Because I think people that are further out on the grounds and their faces aren't there, that's not the same thing as the people that were all inside and hanging off of the front of the Capitol and anybody who could be identified, especially if they were doing any kind of damage, obviously. And we'll see how that all unfolds. All right, remember, you can send me your thoughts, Kay, to katedelaneyradio.com. But he's been waiting patiently, so let's go to Graham, who's listening to us in the great state of Mississippi. Hey, Graham.
Hey, Kay. Isn't it great just to see a master plan come together?
A master plan. Oh, it's terrible.
Hey, Graham. Just grim.
Just grim. Wow, just grim. I mean, just here's the part I said I hated the most is the vulnerability and showing the world that this, look, here we are. This is how vulnerable we are. And to me, that was really sad and frightening.
Yeah, well, you know, I kept trying to say, it's just like I've noticed from the time that I first started coming on air with you, that they're back to it again. And I told you, I don't like them using the word accountable. Because if I were to get pulled over by a highway patrolman and he walked up to me and said, do you realize you're doing 130? And then I come back and I say, I sure do, officer. Now, can you just let me go about my business? I done made myself accountable. Because in all honesty, you and I are liable for that 100-mile-an-hour breaking the law in a 30.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to be made, is made accountable. People got to understand, they are there to play on words. Strongest thing in the word is words. Mightier than the sword is words.
Yeah.
And that's how they get by. Just like when I first talked to you, I said, well, I'm thinking about running as grim to a grim. And my campaign policy is going to be, I'll take care of it. How are you going to do that? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. It's about how you're going to do that. Well, you'll see. I'll take care of it. That's just it. Because you got to have full power. Now they got it, and we'll see how well they take care of it. Because it's going to be grim.
We'll see what happens. Let's hope that that cooler heads prevail. Graham, take care. Thanks for calling. Let's hope that you know, we see some of that bipartisan cooperation. I'm tired of the good old days. Remember the good old days when, and that used, when I was a young reporter, I used to hear that all the time. In the good old days, we'd have a hell of an argument, but we'd go and kick some back afterwards, and everybody felt good about what happened. And we came to compromises. Like, where's compromise? Where is governing for all? Where is all of that? I get that you're not going to get that all the time, but come on, let's see more of it. All right, we're going to give you a little bit of a break from what we've been talking about. In other words, lighten the load. I love stories about childhood that take you back. And this woman is delightful. She's a great storyteller. Bobby McLaren joins us next. After that, I'll wrap up what's been going on in the country. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos has resigned in the wake of Wednesday's violence at the U.S. Capitol. In her resignation letter, DeVos cited the breach of the Capitol as the inflection point for her, saying that President Trump's rhetoric had a direct impact on the situation. DeVos is the second member of the cabinet to resign over the events at the Capitol. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao tendered her resignation earlier on Thursday. In a video message posted on social media, President Trump condemned Wednesday's violence at the Capitol building and said that while his challenges to the results of the election were about protecting the integrity of America's electoral system, he will work for a smooth transition of power.
Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power.
This is USA Radio News. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany also addressed the riots at the Capitol Thursday. During a brief press conference, McEnany said she spoke for the White House in condemning the violence in the strongest possible terms, calling the breach of the Capitol building the opposite of everything the Trump administration stands for.
What we saw yesterday was a group of violent rioters undermining the legitimate First Amendment rights of the many thousands who came to peacefully have their voices heard in our nation's capital. Those who violently besieged our capital are the opposite of everything this administration stands for. The core value of our administration is the idea that all citizens have the right to live in safety, peace, and freedom. Those who are working in this building are working to ensure an orderly transition of power. Now it is time for America to unite, to come together, to reject the violence that we have seen. We are one American people under God.
This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
When you were a kid and you actually went out and played and it was normal. Oh, I yearned for those days. Bobby McLaren has taken me back there in her book, The Sounds at River's Edge. Bobby, thanks so much for coming on Author's Corner.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate.
So you heard what I said. It really is. You talk about the adventure. You talk about what happened growing up, really by the river's edge. Tell us what drove you to write the book. Why'd you write this book?
The world is so different now, and we have, I'm 66, and at my age, you have children and grandchildren, and even at my age, many people are already great grandparents. And there's stories that we, about our life growing up that the new generations will never experience. They'll never know. And my dad had always said that, you know, unless you are famous or infamous, 100 years from now, people won't even remember that you existed. And I thought, man, that's really profound. So my sister, my dad had passed away in 94, and my sister and my best friend, Christine, had pushed me and they said, you guys did the craziest stuff. You should write it down because then you can leave a legacy that people 100 years from now, whether you remember it or not, the stories will be. And I thought, you know, people need to remember there were simpler times. I mean, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote The Little House on the Prairie. I read those and I was like, man, thank God for microwaves. You know, thank God for hot water heaters.
No kidding, right?
You know, everybody's like, oh, it was such a simpler time. It was simpler, but yet it was not as convenient as what I'm spoiled to now. You know, so that was the premise, and that's the platform to where the book came about. So I sat down and I wrote the stories and read them to my mother. And I said, Mom, do you remember this? And she goes, oh, my gosh, yes. So, you know, I wanted to make sure they were really true. I even went to my sister and some of the other people involved, and they're like, yeah.
I love that. So, again, the book is the Sounds at River's Edge, True Stories. It's true stories of growing up on the Intercoastal Waterway. So we're talking about Florida. Tell us a story from the Intercoastal Waterway and growing up by that. Gators. You and I talked about gators. I have a fear of gators.
I love gators. If I could tame one, I would have one. But my cats and my other animals would be their lunch, so I don't have one. But, I love South Florida. When we were growing up, because it was so wild and it was so natural, you know, and there's still areas of Florida that are like that. You know, you go down to the Glades and stuff and you still see that. But we lived on the Intercoastal Waterway right there in North Palm Beach, and I didn't even realize it was the Intercoastal Waterway until I was about 15. We always called it the canal. Now, a lot of people think of a canal as being something small, but you'd have to debate that with the people that live near the Erie Canal because it's not small.
Right.
You know, but it was the canal, and we just, everything we did was based around water and outdoors. And you talk about, you know, a story. One of my favorites in the book is The Demon Below. And it was where even at a young age, which now you wouldn't let a child do that, but at a young age, like between 7 and 8 years old, I would take my fishing pole and I would head over to my uncle's house, which was quite a distance away, probably about 5 or 6 acres away. And he had a dock where he worked on large equipment. A man could do anything. And he had down there barges and tugboats, and because people would bring them to him from all over for him to work on the mechanics of it. And I went this one time down on the dock, and he had a small tug down there, which my dream had always been to be a tugboat pilot. You know, I was like, oh, ooh, those little boats have such power, and yet they're so small.
Right.
But I jumped down into the stern of the boat and, you know, started fishing and everything. And I left my rod, went up into the pilot house and pretended for I don't know how long. I stayed up there for quite some time. And then I thought, well, I'm tired. I guess I'll go home. So I was reeling my line in, and all of a sudden I felt, oh, I got something stuck. I thought maybe a shoe, something like that. And about that time, the ugliest, most grotesque face came up out of the water on the end of my line. And it scared me, and I screamed, and I threw my pole down, and I screamed again, and I jumped up out of the tugboat, ran up the dock, and was running toward my house, screaming, Daddy, Daddy, and I mean, just, and then all of a sudden I thought, wait, I left my rod and reel, and I thought, no, okay, it's not that big, Daddy, you know, I just kept running, and by the time I got to the house, my dad, who'd been in the garage, he came walking out to look to see, you know, like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And I ran up to him, and I was probably talking so quickly. He couldn't understand half of what I was saying. So finally, he said, okay, let's go. So we went over to the dock, and he said, well, come on. Well, I wasn't about to walk out on the dock. I stayed up on the land. Well, he went out on the dock, and he said, now, you're sure there's a monster? I said, I'm telling you, Daddy, it's a demon. Somehow I got a demon. There was a hole or something because, you know, they come up out of the earth, and it's a demon. And he said, okay, all right. He said, now, come on. I said, no, I'll stay here. So he went out, and he jumped down into the stern of the tug, and he picked up my rod, and he started pulling, and he looked at me, and then he looked down at the water, and he stopped a minute. He looked at me, and he looked down at the water again, kept reeling in, and all of a sudden, He screamed, ah, like that, and I screamed, and I took off running. and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I'm running away from the person that was saving me. You know, and I thought, what am I doing? And I turned around, and he was laughing like a maniac. And he had pulled up the most grotesque fish I'd ever seen in my young life. And he said, get down here, it's not a demon, it's a fish. Well, it took quite a bit of urging to get me down there, but yeah, finally got down there, and it's called a rockfish. If you've ever seen a rockfish, I mean, I had caught jewfish and everything else. These rockfish have like these, it would be like if you looked at a witch that had warts all over their face and appendages sticking out here and there. And it had this huge mouth. And I said, you sure that's not a demon? And he said, no, it's a fish. Look, it's got fins. And, you know, we went through the whole thing. And it made me realize that sometimes we have a tendency with that story, you know, the demon down below, we have a tendency to, our fears make us run to where we think is a safe place. But then if our safe place doesn't look as safe as we want, we run away, and then we realize, oh, my gosh, I'm leaving where I need to be. Because my dad would have never, ever put me in jeopardy. You know,
right.
But that was just, you know, I was used to snapper and grunts and, you know, sailor's choice and all those kind of fish, but I'd never seen anything like that. That was just the most gruesome thing ever.
Yeah, and I love
your book. He was there for me.
And absolutely, and your book is filled with those kinds of stories. It had to be fun to write. Was it fun to pull those stories together?
Yes, and it's still like I'm working on the follow-up to this one, More Sounds at River's Edge, and it amazes me the things that I put my sister through and she put me through and how that either one of our parents survived. But my sister and I both decided that my dad must have been some kind of a little hellion when he was a young because he tolerated so much with us and was so patient. You know, and that I think only comes through experience of being.
Right.
You know, you don't just develop that. You actually grow with that kind of understanding with relationships. So it was,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love that you're carrying this over and you're doing more stories because I think you're a good storyteller and people will appreciate that, Bobby, about the book. But when you put this together, then you talk to your family about it. They laughed. You verified the stories. And so I love that you say that they're true stories and people don't think they're made up. What do you hope somebody listening to us takes away from reading your book?
I would like for people to understand that, you know, a lot of children grow up in homes that they don't really have a close relationship with their father. I was fortunate to where I can actually say that my dad was my best friend. The things that I thought that he was really stupid and dumber than dirt when I was young, as I grew older, I realized that he was probably the smartest man I ever knew. And in the book, I bring in a lot of my relationship also with my father, God, because kids that don't have relationships with their father, I think it's very hard for them to understand that there could actually be a God that loves them in spite of no matter what they do. I mean, and that's exactly what my dad did. My dad looked at everything we did, and it was like, you know what? No matter what you do, I'm still going to be here. And people need to know that there's someone in their life, somewhere, someone. You know, if you don't have that person in your life right now, I believe that there is somebody out there that you'll come across that will stand by you, right or wrong, because that's the way that truthfully we're made. It's just that we get so wounded and we get so, you know, things happen in our life and we just get kind of tainted to where all of a sudden we don't believe. And I think that especially with everything going on in our world today, we need to have belief. We need to have hope. And I think that the stories that I share in here, they give people hope because you know what? I survived all this stuff. I survived jumping off of the roof of my house as a 4-year-old with an umbrella. I with no broken bones. You know, I survived that. I survived growing up in the 60s and 70s, which were turbulent, you know, and it's made me who I am today. The stories that we all share, whether they be good or bad, it can either make us better or bitter, you know, and I choose to look for hope, and I believe people have that.
I love that, better or bitter, and I still have that image of the rockfish, and we're going to take that away from this for sure, too, here, stay away from the rockfish, it's so crazy. The Sounds at the River's Edge, True Stories of Growing Up on the Intercoastal Waterway. Bobby McLaren, you can pick it up on Amazon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Kate, I appreciate it.
This is Kate.
Okay, Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Here at the tail end of this hour, little odds and ends and what I call the headers, recapping some of the big things that people are talking about across the nation. That's what this show is about, what's happening in my backyard and what is happening in your backyard. And, of course, there's still so much overflow from the horrible, ridiculous, outrageous riot that took place on the Capitol grounds. And it made me think today in a conversation with somebody I had in Los Angeles about looking at that picture, that overwhelming picture of people climbing the walls and breaking windows and getting in the Capitol. My goodness, if they can do this, how secure, of course, and we talked about this last night, how secure are the grounds when you think of our enemies? I mean, let's face it, we do have a list of them. How could they infiltrate the Capitol? Pretty easily, if you looked at what we saw happening the other day. So what now has happened? The overflow is some of these resignations, like Elaine Chao resigned as the transportation secretary because of the riot. She released a statement and she said, "It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve the U.S. Department of Transportation." And she said she was deeply troubled by the entirely avoidable events at the Capitol building. But she again said she was tremendously proud of the many accomplishments they achieved together for the country and would never forget the commitment for the department and the United States of America. So she resigned. There are other people that are resigning to and others that are considering resigning. The other thing that has happened, and remember there's a couple of weeks left in the president's term, the other thing that has happened is the first federal charges have been filed in the Capitol riot that President-elect Biden is going after Donald Trump for, who he's talking about his removal. There's more of a growing push for that to happen. I guess Biden hasn't said those words exactly, but others are pushing for the 25th Amendment. And, you know, after this mob assaulted the Capitol yesterday and the four people that died. So federal prosecutors, like I said, are looking into everyone involved in the unrest, including the role that the president played in inciting the crowd. And there are a growing number of Republican leaders and some cabinet folks that are circulating their thoughts that the president should be removed from office before January 20th. Wow, this isn't what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting the horrible rioting, outrageous behavior yesterday that happened and made our country look outrageous. I love this country. I love being an American. I love living in America. I love doing this show, America Tonight. And it pained me to see that. It was really horrible. Somebody who's spent time in Washington. And listen, we all have friends across the board. I hope you do. I hope you have friends that have different political beliefs and somehow you have some commonality with them. And we know that you can get fevered and crazed over some of the outrageous things that you don't like, who's ever is in office, including the people who represent you, whether it's in Congress or, you know, whether it's in the Senate. And we've talked about this a massive amount on this show. There are ways to protest, but we're not going to dive into that here at the tail end of the show. Just to say that this is not what I expected. And, you know, you look at the U.S. Capitol Police Chief, Steve Sund, he's resigning, supposedly, and that resignation is effective on January 16th. And, of course, the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, called for his resignation. So, boy, oh, boy, there have been some things that in the aftermath of this that are starting to flow. My question to all of you is, and jump on my mailbag, jump in my mailbag, I guess. Don't jump on it, jump in it. It's a virtual thing, right? 24/7. Just go to kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Fair or foul, that these Republicans especially are really pushing to have Trump removed from office before January 20th. What are your thoughts on that? Should that happen? And how about this? Do you think it'll happen? You know, that's the other part of this. Do you think it will happen? Now, the question some people are asking is, what about the self-pardon power? This is something else that's gone on. So the president, I guess, has been asking lawyers and aides and the White House counsel about his self-pardon power. That's some of the conversations, apparently. I saw that on on a news source and from somebody I know that he's been asking about, because it's unclear if, and it is unclear if this has come up since the chaos at the Capitol building yesterday, whether that's part of this or, you know, that's part of the fallout, that's part of the question. You know, I don't know that. But I guess he's been asking about that. He's been asking what he should do. So, you know, even other good friends, whether it's Sean Hannity, who, of course, on Fox, has suggested publicly that he should do that. And then the president, before Twitter shut him down, he said that he thought that he has the power to do that. You know, it's weird. It's untested. I've talked to some constitutional experts in the last couple of weeks, and I've talked to some other legal authorities, in other words, people that I trust that I think really know the law well, and there's nothing that says he can't do that. A presidential self-pardon is just untested, and so it's kind of a divide on the constitutionality of that. Can he pardon himself? I don't know. I mean, what he could do, I guess, is he could step down. He could ask the vice president. If he did that, if he stepped down and he asked Mike Pence to take over, he could pardon him. But I don't even know if that's binding. So really wild. And since the siege on the Capitol, now all of a sudden we've got protection because we got to show the world that, hey, we're not that vulnerable, even though yesterday you could have flown a 777. I like that. That's the new, I don't like it, but that's the new plane that we've been talking about. Anyway, 850 National Guard members are going to work in 12-hour shifts to secure the Capitol grounds. So they've been doing that. You know, there were 6,200 that came to D.C. finally, and the Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, said that they would be used in those 12-hour shifts, and there would always be 850 of them on the grounds. And so think about that. They're coming from nearby states, but Maryland, Virginia, New Jersey, New York, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and they are deployed for a minimum of 30 days, so they will all be there apparently over the weekend. They're going to help erect a 7-foot non-scalable fence around the Capitol grounds and then act as support in the, you know, in the security arena, working for other agencies and law enforcement. So how about that? And then they're going to look at, they're going to review ahead of the January 20th inauguration, which of course is a big event after this, and wouldn't that be a potential target? I guess they're going to look at what they need. Or do they need protective gear, riot gear, all that kind of stuff? All these are questions that are being tossed around. How do we protect the Capitol? So now all of a sudden this is, you know, obviously this is the big thing, and it still is shocking to see some of the photographs that were taken inside and some of the video and, you know, et cetera. But what is interesting to me is I don't know or realize if they thought about this, because faces were so exposed that the FBI even has a tip hotline that's set up for people who know the people that we saw on camera. And some of the images that clearly you see the faces of a lot of the people that were in there. I think that surprised me a lot, because I thought, okay, so now you get through and you're there, and shockingly you're there, right? So you haven't been stopped, so you're in some offices, you're in the chamber, you're walking in the hallway, you're taking selfies, pictures, whatever. And we live in the era of the cell phone, so of course they're on social media. And I guess it's that thing where you're not thinking about, they're not thinking about what next, because with this tip line, some people are being identified from what I understand anyway. So this is ongoing and fluid. Let's put it that way. And the main thing for me is I hurt for all of us. Again, as a very proud American and feeling like I have to defend America when I've been overseas sometimes, when people ask me what I think are questions that I'm so surprised by. And now I'm getting a lot of emails from people of, you know, we're worried about America, we're sorry this happened. We were already having that happen here on the show, because as you know, we talk to many people overseas because I want them to feel what's happening in the United States and see what's going on with us as well. So unfortunately, that's just another thing that happened that, you know, has the world looking at us like, wow, the United States, boy, you've been the rock. We rely on the U.S. when we get to trouble. We look at your form of democracy, some anyway, and think if we could have a little bit more of that. So send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And as always, thanks for listening. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, It's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.